There's a famous story in our tradition that I had a chance to tell last week at our Sinai Temple Family Shabbaton at Camp Ramah. And I want to share it with you this morning. Rabbi Hanina was famous for saying, "God will provide." But Rabbi Hanina was known as the poorest rabbi in town. It was rare for him to put food on his table, and yet he was known for saying those words, "God will provide." Well, one Friday morning, Rabbi Hanina's wife sat at her Shabbos table, pouring out her woes to God. "Dear God, there's no food for this evening's meal. My table is bare, and I'm afraid that my children will go hungry. What am I supposed to do?" And yet through her tears, she couldn't help but hear the words of her husband over and over again, "God will provide." So she decided to light the stove and set the table. Well, her nosy neighbor, suddenly seeing smoke rise from the Hanina's chimney, spitefully said, "Well, those Haninas, they have no money. Who do they think they are? Who do they think they're tricking? Well, I'm going to catch them in their lies." Mrs. Hanina, hearing her neighbor's footsteps, decided to hide. Well, that neighbor opened the front door, and she was shocked, because what was right in front of her? A full Shabbos table, filled to the brim with a banquet fit for a king and queen. Meat, all kinds of delicacies, but most of all, two glistening chalot baking in the oven. And so the neighbor yelled out, "Mrs. Hanina, come quick. You have to hurry, your chalot, they're burning." And stunned, Mrs. Hanina came out from her hiding place, looked at her table, beautiful, set, and full, and of course smelled those beautiful chalots baking in the oven, looked up to God, and said, "God will provide." A sweet story. An optimistic story, and one that makes a big assumption. As long as we have faith, God will provide. But who really filled that Shabbos table with food? Did the food appear out of thin air? Was Rabbi Hanina hiding behind a door just waiting to put the food out? When we presume that God will provide, are we supposed to rely on a miracle? Or should we expect something different? Perhaps something from ourselves. This week's Torah portion says the following: "For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard. But the seventh year shall be a complete rest for the land." We know the concept as the Shemitah year. We're in the seventh year of the agricultural cycle in Israel. The land remains fallow. To this day, when the seventh year falls in Israel, Israelis put down their tools and they let the land take its rest. But our biblical commentators are amazed, because think of that trust, that bitachon, that the people must place into God to ensure that there would be enough food to sustain them that entire year. But of course, as they always do, the rabbis find a loophole. You see, trust in God isn't merely closing our eyes and assuming that food will appear. Trust in God, in the case of the Shemitah year, is becoming partners with God during those first 6 years, tilling the soil, spending extra hours managing the fields, and going above and beyond the expected day's work, all to ensure that there's food in the seventh. So what does it mean when we say God provides? God's provisions come from the work of our own hands. A sturdy marriage comes from the effort and time we choose to pour into it. A secure family comes from the attention and nourishment we lavish. A happy life, something that's hard to come by. Well, that comes from the work that we're willing to do, and we know often not an easy commitment, but somehow, reminding ourselves that God provides the support that we need along the way. Be it working on our marriage or putting food on the table, we have to dig within. We have to dig hard. And remember that it's God that gives us the strength each and every day to do this necessary, lifelong work. It's that trust in God that allows us to stand firm on the foundation we have created, human beings and God together. And it's that trust in God that we must find and bolster and re-cement each and every day of our lives. Last year, an article came out in USA Today entitled, "Can Faith Help an Olympian?" U.S. Olympic contender Ryan Hall, an evangelical Christian, well, he claimed that God is his coach. And he literally meant that God is his coach. Because you see, when he was asked to fill out a racing form, and it came to fill out the line coach, instead of writing a name like I assume most of us would, he wrote in God. You see, Hall explained that it's God who allows him to run with freedom and joy. But Hall also said that as his faith deepened, his self-worth was less dependent on his running results. You see, the author notes that Hall used to run as if he had a burden on his back. But now, with his growing faith, he runs lighter. Ryan Hall never lessened his preparation for a race. He never claimed that God enhanced his physical being or stamina, or claimed that God was responsible for him winning a race. Hall realized that in partnering with God, in combining strength training with faith training, Rabbi Hanina's words would come true. God would provide. God would provide the confidence that Hall needed to continue running, to continue living. The Yalkut Shimoni, an early 13th century compilation of books on the Torah filled with stories and interpretations, says the following. One who benefits from his own labor is greater than a God-fearing individual. Doesn't it sound like a contradiction? If one is consumed with his own work, with his own labor, then how can that person be superior than the one who is faithful and reverent? But the Yalkut Shimoni explains that the person who works towards their goal, who toils and sweats and exerts himself, well, somehow this man understands that God doesn't determine whether it's you or you or you or you who should receive more or less in this world. Rather, a God-fearing individual is someone who decides to take the initiative to let God in, to partner with God, and help us find our way in this complicated world. As the psalmist writes, may God show us compassion and establish the work of our hands. Hand in hand, may we trust in God. And together, God will provide. Shabbat Shalom.